Hey, everybody, it's Forrest Arnold with you one more time here on the Thrive Past 50 podcast. And I'm so delighted to introduce you to three of my best friends in the world, Alan Ribicoff, Lou, how do I say your last name, Lou? Napolitano?
You got it.
Good. And Madani Knowles. These are thoughtful, wonderful brothers. And I've known a couple of you for years, a couple of them less long than that. But I have a great joy that we have a weekly call like this. And this segment, boys, it's about this, and let's just ad lib. What is it that helps men and women thrive past 50? What comes to your mind that you've seen after 20 years of men's work? I've seen working with hundreds of men, how many of them, as time goes by, they kind of go, well, you know, I used to be somebody, I used to run the company, now I'm just grandpa. And there's a disappointment sometimes about what their spark is that leads them down, you know, the beach of life, and what are their footprints on the sand. What comes to mind? Who wants to go first? What do you see as one of the keys to sparking and thriving past 50?
I'll be happy to go first.
Good, please.
That's a great topic, Forrest, and I think it's one of the important thing is keeping your connection with friends. You know,
nice.
That seems to be one of the greatest factors in longevity. And you know, like we're doing a weekly Zoom call, and
yes.
You know, having coffee with good friends, and just trying to keep the elevation of the conversation high, and you know, talking about our purpose. And you know, I think that's very gratifying, you know, consciously trying to bring out the best in our friends and each of us. And, you know, it's a real synergistic, positive process.
And I love,
And I think just staying connected with our purpose in life. I mean, you know, we're all, especially at an older age, we're all questioning, why am I here in the first place? And
well,
I think it's really important to give us a reason. And to really analyze that, like, I think having a spiritual practice to me is very important, that, you know, it really keeps us on the higher elevation. And, you know, hobbies, like I still love drawing cartoons and painting watercolor flowers. And I think that all of that's really important, you know, good relationships and connection. You know, if we're lucky enough to be in a good relationship, you know, that's all very, very important.
That's fabulous. That is fabulous. Madani, you're saying so much. And tell me, how old are you now?
81 and a half.
81 and a half, 3 months and 45 days. You know, I, as some of our listeners know, in December, I got diagnosed with fairly advanced melanoma cancer in my brain, tumors in my brain, tumors in my lungs. And I literally thought, and my wife Sandra and I thought, this is my final chapter. And it might be that I'm going to leave early. Well, 3 days ago, the head of Fred Hutch Cancer Center in Seattle says to me, Forrest, from head to toe, you are cancer free. And the treatment that they gave me over these last 6 months has absolutely lit up my own immune system to fight the cancer that was all through me. Wow. And if that isn't like a big signal of something good, I have a new chapter, which is not dying, it's living. Now, I have to be smart about melanoma and keep my eyes on the prize, but what a wonderful thing you said, Madani, which is your drawing, your life history of doing illustration, your sense of creative connection, the thing that you do, which is at all hours of the day, you get on these fabulous calls with a network of people from all around the world. How inspiring to study chivalry and to study, you know, higher purpose that way. And over 20 years, men would turn to me in the men's work, in the Mankind Project, and they'd say, Forrest, I don't know what my purpose is. And I said, young man, that's your purpose, to figure it out, put it together, and put together your gratitude. What are you grateful about? What are your talents that you almost forgot you have that you could share with people?
So, exactly.
Yeah. No, it's big. Lou, what would you add to all this? What do you think is part of the key to men and women staying sparked and thriving past 50?
I'd say that having a reason to get up in the morning is critical for me, for sure.
Number one.
So if you don't have that readily available, I would recommend that you make time to figure that out. I am doing something. I'm involved in volunteering at the Y in something called the Bridge of Hope, which is a program. It's a community initiative that is working toward creating a more civility in the community and reducing the amount of polarization that we are experiencing now in this country.
Wow.
And personally, I did a bee pollinator garden this year, and I really enjoyed that very much.
How about that? Well, listen to you. You know what? The Bridge of Hope thing, what I love is the framework that that's calling on us to do, is that we become the bridge to hope. Mm-hmm. We become the healing process for a country where some people think it's okay to be mean-spirited and putting people down and always roughing up other people. Some people think that's cool. You know what? It's not cool. It's not okay. And it's not healing in that way. So to see you inspired and continue to be inspired by Bridge of Hope is a big inspiration to me. Nice. Alan Rybakov, my good friend, you.
Well, listening to Madani, particularly Madani, I think Madani's the matter and I'm the anti-matter. I'm not spiritual like Madani is, ever, particularly since the death of my son, and I'm not a social. As Madani is, who seems like instantly draw a crowd by talking intelligently, and I don't know. Maybe it tires me to be with a lot of people, and it doesn't certainly happen to others who get charged up by it.
Yeah,
I'm a more sensitive guy. But I spent a lot of time outdoors during the summer months when I'm out in the woods or on a kayak or on a boat or whatever, doing beach walks and you name it. And this summer's been a little limiting because of some shoulder issues, which I'll correct over the winter. But I do that, and then I donate my time by it. Well, I give my time, devote my time. That's the word I was searching for as a docent at the Holocaust Museum. And with the advent of COVID, the ability to give lectures about what's at the, not lectures, but to guide people through the museum has become something you can do virtually, and whereas I was limited to just lecturing or guiding students who were within a school bus distance of the museum, now I can do it for students in anywhere.
Nice.
Georgia, Island, you name it, it all be done. And it's always different. The questions are always different, and that's challenging. I do just enough legal work to keep my brain functioning, but legal work to overtax it.
Well, Alan, you're funny because I'm telling you something, man. And knowing you these last couple of years, I see your humor. I see what you've done and what you know that is so deep within you, as both a judge and a lawyer for all these many, many years, but as a adjudicator of the right path And, you know, your integrity is right there. It's funny because as you list your activities of being out on the kayak or washing the boat or fishing or what, those are not the usual pastimes of a lawyer who's sitting in court all day long. And in that way, you're sharing your spark with us. And, right. You know, to me, the way that we become friends, the way that we stay friends with people, even if we've done business together and we stay civil, that is something you're good at. And I love that about you and Christine, your lovely bride. So you guys.
From time to time, primarily because we have continuing legal education requirements to maintain your law license, I go to some continuing lecture series when I'm in LA that isn't on Zoom, maybe, and to look around the crowd of those who are still working, who are hunched over and overweight.
Well, you know, and there's something I'm discovering. Let me tell you real quick, a wonderful mentor of mine. I've known him for 45 years, and he's been with me through business, of the sale of my business, through my own exploration, my own highs and lows. But I said to him, so Doug is his name. Doug, what is it that you really want to say out in the world? Let's get you a podcast going. It's so simple. It's so cheap. It's all. And he says, you know, wait a minute, Forrest, wait a minute. The world doesn't need another smart guy talking. And I go, stop, wrong. Number one. Number two, he says, I've never written a book. I'm not a world-class author. I've never been known as a speaker. And I've only functioned well when I was in the criminal justice system, the healthcare system, and helping lawyers, you know, manage their business. And I go, okay, timeout number two. Listen to the rule of life you're following. The rule of life you seem to be following is something like, I have to be so freaking perfect before I can say a word, number one. Number one. Number two, Doug, Alan, Lou, Madani, Forrest, each of you embody the essence of a man who's mature, who's thoughtful, who's kind, who can be listened to, even if they didn't know me 10 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Doug, you embody an intelligent mind who wants to see the country come back together and harmony happen in people's lives. Is your intention good? Yes. Is your voice valid? Yes. Now, his own limiting rule is keeping him locked up. He's 82.
Wow.
And I love the guy. He's intelligent, thoughtful, well-read, and all that. And he thinks he has to stay quiet until he gets better and perfect. Mm. Oh, please. Let's rewrite the story. On my window right next to me here, it says, the bravest creators take those steps even when they're not sure they believe in themselves. Mm. The bravest creators take those steps even when they're not sure they believe in themselves. So what I'm telling each of you two, three guys, is you know more in your soul than maybe you even remember and realize. Mm. And Lou, you bring that in how you show up with people and how you see the possibilities in them. Alan, you bring that up in your humor. Madani, in your illustrations and in your sweethearted networking that you do. Each of you has a depth that goes really deep. And when folks can tap into that wisdom, this is my way of saying, guys, this is our spark, and this is how we thrive past 50. We give our best selves to people. And some will get it, and some will receive, and some won't. But that's okay. Right? Mm-hmm. So this segment, let's call it what it is, unless you'd like to add something. Lou, would you add anything more to all this? Audio.
I have I have some guys painting around here, so I didn't want to interrupt.
Okay. But,
yeah, I think pickleball is a metaphor that could be used in this context for us, because everybody can play, and it's a great way to include people, both physically and socially. So
nice. Well, and what you guys are sharing is the little tricks in life that develop at this age, not necessarily 20 years ago. These are instincts that you have and I have that I didn't have 10 years ago. I didn't have before cancer. And my cancer recovery blows my mind. I said to the doctor, Dr. Edmund Marzmani, he's a famous guy, as well he should be. He calls me back on 4th of July with his kids squawking over his shoulder. And I said, so Eddie, he says, call me Eddie. I said, Dr. Eddie, when you became a doctor and a dad, did you have any idea what you were getting into? And he said, no idea. I had no idea. And he is a genius, lovable, credible, believable guy. And thank the Lord, we moved here to the Seattle area to get that kind of cancer care. I'm cancer free. How did that happen? Wow. Is that a spark? Am I
a miracle?
Hello. So I've got a whole new inspiration that's based on that. I'm going to call the recording complete.
Well, could I just add one thing?
Oh, please. Yes.
You know, having a be perfect driver is so self-defeating.
Oh.
That our own self-imposed limitations.
Yes.
That, you know, in this earth, being born is a nursery, and it's to grow and nourish and learn all we can, develop our full potential.
Good.
So if somebody, you know, we are not meant to be perfect. Maybe on our deathbed, we may say, oh, now I am perfect. But until then, we are not meant to be perfect. So get over yourself. That's a self-imposed limitation.
Listen, I want to repeat what you just said. We're not meant to be perfect. That's a new rule of life. Some people don't know that rule. And literally, they're living by an old rule, which they took on as a kid or whatever. And it's a dangerous game when we go unconscious about that.
Yeah.
And these rules we live by go unexamined. Madonna, you're a star, and I love your energy and your kindness. You've been so kind and friendly to me. It's amazing. And I feel well supported by all three of you as good friends. Good. I'm going to hit stop on the recording. I'll share it with all of you. And we'll get a chance to share this kind of message out in the world. The more we do it, the better it gets. And yes, the world needs guys like us who have a spark. You all in for that? Thumbs up?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Alan, you got a thumb up there?
Yep.
Good.
Thank you for the inspiration, Forrest.
You guys are my inspiration. It's really good. I'll stop recording and we'll say aloha for now.